the most successful people in my life that I look up to, they all have the same thing in common, that they've all taken a chance at some point when they knew there was a big risk for failure, but they went for it anyways and the payoff was good.
Leap of faith.
Leap of faith.
Guts. I do that all the time and I always fall.
I just got to go for it at some point.
Thank you for listening to the Farm for Fun podcast, a happy hour spinoff of the Farm for Profit podcast. These episodes are hosted by Tanner Winteroff, the Iowa Bankerman, David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, and a random farmer named Corey. Each episode, they plan to focus on a brewery or distillery while talking about all current events and everything else. Crack a beer, mix a drink, and join on the fun. Remember, if you aren't farming for fun, we know you probably like raisins in your cookies.
Welcome back to another Farm for Fun episode. This is Tanner Winteroff, the banker in Central Iowa.
This is Corey Hillebeau, the farmer.
And this is David Whitaker, the auctioneer and real estate agent.
I think if there's ever been a Farm for Fun show that we've ever been ready for, I can't think that I've ever been more ready for a beer, more ready for a good time, and a good chat.
Just not very ready overall on all everything else.
That's why I left it out. Lack of preparation, getting everything set up. We are here, but we are good to go. What do you think, Dave?
I think so. We got some great guests in the studio. We have every chord, I think, that we have imaginable on the table. Corey's ready to go with a great opening, and it's great weather outside, too.
It is fantastic weather. This is something, too, listeners, we need to thank you. There are a lot of fantastic things on the horizon for the Farm for Profit and Farm for Fun podcast. I almost can't wait, but I know I have to. But it'll be some really great material. We've got fantastic content planned. We got a lot of really cool things, and we couldn't have done it without you. That's certainly something that goes beyond saying, and I hope you understand the sincerity of this comment. Also, we really appreciate you leaving reviews, you liking this, you sharing it with your family and friends, because that's the only way we know our audience has grown. So thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts for doing that. A couple of examples of those reviews, Corey, that we had.
Yeah. A week or two ago, I think it was Vance Crow on Twitter just came out and said, you know, I haven't listened to you guys, but I listened this morning, and it sounds great. Keep your topics moving. Sounds natural. It's like hanging out with friends that are curious. So that's cool. Vance Crow's a cool dude.
You guys reached out to somebody on Twitter. I saw, TikTok. Guy that swears a lot.
Oh, he's coming on the podcast.
Is he coming on the podcast?
That'll after be fun. Harvest.
He is an agriculture guy, but he swears a lot. I'll give you that.
We're going to have that. I don't know if Tanner has that many bleep buttons.
We might have to get a bleep button in here before we.
We might have to just put a disclaimer at the front of that one.
But he had this to the podcast. And so he's now he's listening to it now because of social media. So keep sharing.
No, that's really cool. Another one too we got was, I really enjoy the variety here. The information is also enlightening. So thank you. Keep those coming. It means an awful lot to us. We really appreciate that. But you don't want to hear us talk about that kind of stuff. You're here to let us have some fun. So what do you think, Corey? Should we move right into our guests?
Let's get this party started. This week on the Farm for Fun podcast, we have boys from a band down by Deep River. It's actually a small stream. This band has a combined 63 years of musical talent. These boys know how to throw a party and have opened for shows for the likes of John Michael Montgomery, Low Cash, Sonny Sweeney, Brett Young, and more. They are the honky-tonkin', beer-drinking, hell-raising band called Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Welcome to the show. And we have just two of them, Ed and Tyler.
Yeah. Ed and Tyler. All right. Woohoo.
Ed the fiddle player.
Ed's the fiddle
player. That is correct.
What is up, guys?
We're just here to hang and have some fun and play some music for y'all.
And have you ever done a podcast before?
Never before.
Never before.
Not one as cool as this.
Not one as cool as this.
I'm going to drink beer and be on a podcast all at the same time and play music.
Well, we got to say Tyler is doing Sober October, I believe it's called. So
yeah. So that don't sucks. Believe well, anything. Well, well. Don't believe anything he says about the beer tasting.
That's good though. You got a designated driver.
Yeah. Yeah, for Ed, he's cracking into the whiskey already, so he doesn't have to worry about his ride home.
After all the days of football, when I had to be the sober one in the group, now Tyler finally knows the pain.
There
so.
You go.
So I gave a little bit of background, but that was just a 50,000-foot overview. Give us a little bit about yourselves and the band.
Yeah, my name is Tyler Richton. Richton is actually my middle name. Comes from my two grandfathers, Richard and Merton. That's where that comes from. We started a band back in 2015. Ed wasn't an original member, but we kind of scouted him out. He was playing some classical tunes, a little Beethoven, a little Bach at a senior recital. Me and the bass player went over to check him out. We recruited him, and he's been with us ever since 2016. And we've been just out on the road, dogging it, doing what we can to stay busy. So.
Grew up in Deep River, is or you?
I grew up in Deep River. Yep, and I live in Brooklyn, Iowa, currently. But just bought a house over back by Deep River now, and we'll be moving back there soon. So,
gotcha, Ed. What's your background?
Yeah, so I am Ed Henning. I'm from the metropolis of Hartwick, Iowa. Anyone that's been there will know that that's a little bit of an overstatement. But grew up on a family farm there. We have 90 head of cows, about 600 acres of row crop, as well as hay ground and some pasture on top of that. So grew up in farming, and I'm actually a listener of the Farm for Profit podcast. So it is an honor to be with the Iowa Bankerman and the Iowa Land Guy and the Random Farmer. So all right. Quite a time, quite
that's,
an honor here.
That's awesome, because when we did not know that coming in, so mm-hmm. that's small world.
Yes, so... I currently work at Vermeer Corporation. I'm a product specialist there. I actually don't work on the ag side. I work with tree care rental landscape, so your brush chippers, stump cutters, mini skid steers, articulating loaders now. So that's what I do for my full-time job, and then I get to get paid for doing some fun stuff on the weekends here with the band.
Barely.
So classically trained in Iowa City. Started when I was 4 and a half, and luckily these guys picked me up along the way and got me playing some good old tunes. So
that's
how I got with them.
I've been biting my tongue because when Tyler said how he found you and found you playing Beethoven and, well, I don't remember what else you said, but I don't think that's what we're going to hear today.
No.
And I kind of want to hear the story. How did you hear about him? And what was it like going on a scouting trip to a high school concert?
Yeah. We were just a three-piece band. When I say I suck at playing guitar, like, I do not play. So you hear solos, like Eddie Van Halen, okay, RIP. He rips some major solos and stuff. I can't do that. I can't do stuff like that. So we needed something to fill the empty space when we were playing. So you go out and you search for lead players. Well, we couldn't find a guitar player around, couldn't find a steel guitar player or anything like that. So we're searching for a fiddle player. Well, pops up on Facebook, a kid our age from just down the road, playing some classical music at a recital. And I saw his mom had shared an event, his senior recital coming up. So I talked to the bass players, like, you guys, you want to just go grab Buffalo Wild Wings and go listen to this guy and just see what he's got to offer and talk to him, see if he even ministers. And it's like, yeah, let's go do it. So that's kind of how that came to fruition.
Just kind of seemed odd, you know. Hearing it for the first time, but I'm not in the music world. I mean, I guess I could do that if I heard about a really good banker somewhere and then I went to their loan closing.
I'm interested in, because the fiddle is not something, it's not a recorder, it's not a saxophone, it's not a trumpet like that you have in high school band. You said you started when you were 4?
Yep, 4 and a half.
So, I mean, did you want to do that? Is that something your parents wanted you to do? How's that work?
So the story that my mother would tell is that ever since I was old enough to put a stick on my shoulder, then that's how I got started. And she knew she had to get me in violin lessons. So I don't remember. So I cannot confirm or deny that story. I do know that she played a very large part in getting me into music. So we have her to thank for getting me started on lessons there, whether it was my choice or her idea. So
yeah. That's pretty cool. The only place I've ever seen a violin lesson, I think it was like on the east side of Des Moines in some sketchy house. So when you drive by down there, so I never really wanted to pick it up too bad, but that's awesome. I've never been.
You don't just play the fiddle; you play the mandolin and keyboard as well, correct?
Yep, among a few. So, I took lessons from Prusel School of Music in Iowa City. I should probably say. So I took violin lessons to start, and then I started on piano lessons shortly after that, and started viola for a while. Actually, got to go some cool places playing viola. Playing in an orchestra and traveling around. The mandolin is also very closely related to the violin. So then that's how I picked that up along the way as well. And then some other stuff that I added for fun.
And may I just say, long shot, God bless Beth Ann, because I swore when we went to scout him out, that's his mom. When we went to scout him out, I was like, there's just no way. This lady has paid for violin lessons, classically trained for however many years of his life. She's not going to let him play in bars until the wee hours of the morning playing Hank Jr. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. And she loves it. She comes to almost every show and she loves it. So,
did you grow up liking country music, knowing that's what you wanted to do? Or
yeah. So I knew that I had a connection to fiddle playing or country music, at least from, you know, an early start. You know, that's kind of my dad's influence on the whole deal, I guess. He's not a very musical guy, but he has very good taste in music. So growing up, riding along... We don't have buddy seats in our tractors, but sitting on the ledge in the top of the tractor in the combine, the radio was always playing something along those lines and digging out his old records and stuff. So, I was doing fiddle playing from a very early age, just from the point where I could choose that on the side I wanted to mess around playing fiddle. So that's how I kind of got started in the genre. And it was a very good opportunity to get to actually play and play in a band that we get to do some cool things and go cool places too.
So, awesome. Tyler, you're the lead. How'd you get started?
So I started playing music back about same age as Ed. Mom got me involved with piano lessons with grandma. Then I was in a two-piece punk rock band in junior high. I played drums, and we were just terrible.
Green Day, Blink-182.
A lot of Green Day. We played this song called Teenagers. I can't even remember who it was by, but yeah, bless the people who listened to that too and supported us through that.
We need to dig some of that up.
If you dig deep enough, if you dig deep enough on Facebook, you will find Drum and Strum.
It's called Drum and Strum. Yeah.
Drum and Strum.
But that's how I got started.
I liked a little punk rock back in the day.
You wouldn't like this.
That's funny.
How's farming, Corey?
We got done with soybeans today. Yeah. So I'm celebrating currently while dad and brother are doing the hard part of blowing off the combine and
switching her over.
And we got a bearing out on an auger, and we kind of just been limping along, and now it's time to fix stuff and get ready for corn.
You're ready to pound at it.
But beans went smooth. We've had just fantastic weather, better yields than we thought we could have, and now we have to go have fun with flat corn.
Yeah, flat corn. That's part of it. Thankfully, we've had some really good weather this fall. A lot of guys have been running almost nonstop, kind of sitting there to the point to where we almost could use a rain day just to fix the stuff that we've all been duct taping together and getting to the finish line.
We were running until 11 midnight every night for a while, and finally the other night we just said at 8 o'clock, we got to get home and see people, see the kids,
right,
and just recharge batteries a little bit. And that's probably what we're going to do tonight and then hit her hard tomorrow.
Well, we better not get any farther in this without recognizing Dole Distributing and thanking them again for their hookup this week.
Thank you, Dole, for the beer and for wrapping my combine.
This week we are featuring Big Grove Brewery. So they distribute for Big Grove Brewery over there, Iowa City, Solon direction. And the very first one that I'm going to pour out here is called the Easy Eddie. It's a fresh and juicy hazy IPA, so I can't wait to get Dave's reaction.
Pour him a big one.
But while
did you see that meme out there that says, hey, 100,000 different breweries, you don't have to make another IPA? I want to save it, screenshot it, send it to you guys. Oh, mercy. That's
Dave's funny. Reaction says, yes, you do.
All right. While I pour this out, why don't you gentlemen play us a little something and tickle our ears.
You bet. We're going to do an original tune that Ed wrote not that long ago called Neon Sunset. Ride my trusty steed to a neon sunset. barstool saddle scene, a heartache or two. Whiskey drowns and the beer flows like a river. The last thing on my mind is losing you. Don Juan tried to warn me back in Sonora. See right past my eyes. Love sick fool. Beware of a tall, dark senorita. She'll ride away and steal a heart from you. Go ride my trusty steed to a neon sunset. Barstool saddle scene, a heartache or two. Whiskey drowns and the beer flows like a river. The last thing on my mind is losing you. They never left IA. No, I don't know Espanol. Tequila takes my mind back to the shores of old Mexico. Gonna ride my trusty steed to the neon sunset. My barstool saddle sing. Heartache or two. The whiskey drowns and the beer flows like a river. The last thing on my mind is losing you. The last thing on my mind is losing you.
Country right there.
You wrote that?
I did.
That came out of you?
You, it wouldn't look like it. No, I know.
You'd never think that. So do you guys write God, most of your
God
own stuff?
God bless Beth Ann, right?
Yeah, God bless Beth Ann. Yeah, we write a decent amount. We need to get back into it. But the first album we did, which I wrote when I was like 17, I wrote 15 out of the 16 songs on it. Most of them were bad. And just young, stupid kid stuff. And now we've started to write some more mature songs and get the other guys involved in it, and it's gone a lot better. But we don't have anything in the works really, but we're just trying to write some and get cool. Some stuff planned up. Cool.
So what do we got for a beer here?
This is the Easy Eddie Hazy IPA from Big Grove.
It smells fruity, like a pineapple-y.
It says a delicious 6% alcohol volume, 12 full ounces, 355 milliliters. And the can is very colorful. I don't know what you call that. Is it a walnut?
It's a hop.
Well,
the bottom's a hop.
Is the top like a walnut?
It kind of looks like an acorn.
An acorn? So an acorn hop?
But maybe that's what hops look like. I don't know. Dark, I don't dark farm blue. Hops. I think that's supposed to be a hop.
Is that a whole hop? I don't know.
Dark blue with a teal.
Out of Solon and Iowa City.
And Iowa City.
They keep sending us Eastern Iowa beers. I think they're trying to send us signals.
It's all right. It's not too bad.
Look at that. We got an IPA past David.
It's an easy drinking IPA. You know, maybe at the end of this podcast, when it's done, Dave will probably be loving them.
I might be the beer connoisseur after the end of this.
Now I got to delete those 10 pictures I took trying to get a facial reaction.
You know, some of those IPAs, though, you get into, I can't say that I'm an IPA connoisseur. So
Ed, what's your take?
I don't mind it. It's you get that little bit of fruity flavor, and you know there's enough of a hoppy flavor that you know it's an IPA, but not so much that someone like me that likes a wheat beer.
It is.
It doesn't bother me.
I think a lot of IPAs get to that 7, 8, 9% alcohol, and this is 6%.
Yeah,
that's pretty easy.
I'm almost getting a pineapple note.
Yeah, I taste it.
Might be what the low. Just kidding.
Juicy tropical flavors of pineapple, mango. That are complemented by a round body and soft bitterness. This double dry hopped hazy IPA is infinitely drinkable and relentlessly flavorful.
I can't disagree with that statement. This is good. That's a winner. I think that's a winner around the room for Big
Rock. A lot of times IPAs, it's like, oh, I'll have one or two. I could drink this for several.
They get better as you go. So
I might have just had a bad day.
Tyler? So. Okay, let's not leave Tyler out. How's that water over there?
That is the best water I've ever tasted.
Ah, that's good.
See,
good.
It's weird. Sober October, you called it, right? Mm-hmm. And normally there's no shave November, and the three of us haven't been shaving.
I'm doing Harvest Stash.
We're like no shave October is what we got going.
We're just going to let it ride.
I do month of, which maybe not now if this podcast continues, but I usually try to take like January off of drinking.
That's going to be tough.
It is, but then at the same time, it's like, well, you had Thanksgiving, and then you've had all these Christmas parties and Christmas, and you just feel like you've been eating and drinking your way through the holidays, and it's like, it's kind of refreshing, but maybe I'll just taste.
That's right. This isn't drinking. This is tasting.
Yeah, we're just tasting.
100%.
It's classy.
We're not shotgunning IPAs in here.
That's right. Classy with our Dixie cups. I like this.
Oh, shit. I was told we would be shotgunning IPAs.
that's why he decided not to drink.
Yeah. Well, one of the cool things this week that we learned, gentlemen, is that the Farm for Profit podcast, so all of our Farm for Profit shows, all of our Farm for Fun shows, have made it on to iHeartRadio.
Woo! Nice.
Winner, winner.
That I never thought would happen. When we put this thing together, I never imagined it'd be anywhere besides the two places that we started. Now we're on 7 different platforms. And again, that's a big thanks to you guys as listeners.
What's the next step? Where are we going next?
I think we're
going
to try and get on Amazon.
Oh.
Go to Prime Music.
We're not on Amazon?
Not yet.
What the hell?
Not yet. Got to wait for them to accept.
If you got a Fire Stick, it probably doesn't work.
I listened on iHeart, and I've never listened to a podcast on iHeart. And that was a very enjoyable experience finding it and getting on it. And it kept playing where Spotify like stops afterwards. It kept playing. So I actually listened to another one. It was good.
Boosting those downloads, huh?
Yes. Someone's got to pad them. Someone's got to pad these downloads or I'm going
to
get fired.
I wasn't listening to that. I was listening to the debate. Mercy, did you watch it last night?
All right. You're talking about the vice president debate. Yeah.
About the only newsworthy thing about that was the debate. Fly on Mike Pence's head.
Why didn't anybody tell him to swat that?
Didn't the moderator go, please swat that gigantic horse fly off your hair.
I can tell if something is in my hair, like a bee's wing or something. Even I can tell. Yeah, how could he not tell that fly was there?
That's just public speaking 101.
Someone said that fly came down with COVID.
Oh, it did. Did, it? Did you see? I saw a bunch of memes today on social media that Ocean Spray. They got the Ocean Spray where they're chugging it. So the CEO of Ocean Spray is like, all right, I'll get on this bandwagon. And so he did it too. And it kind of went viral. Well, there was one that had the fly on Mike Pence's head chugging Ocean Spray. I was like, that's the best one of the day right here.
I've got a good one queued up for that. I just don't know how to do it yet.
I was trying to figure that. I've been seeing it all over TikTok. There's guys that run golf courses putting Ocean Spray in the ball washers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Trump just... What a great publicity campaign that they fell into. Maybe it was planned. Maybe they just fell into it.
I think somebody did it once and it went kind of viral. And so the CEO said, you know what? I'll participate.
Right.
This participation advertising.
The main guy that started that first video, he made another video, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, and said, thanks for the wheels, new wheels, Ocean Spray.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you guys on TikTok?
I am not.
I don't have an account, but I unfortunately have the app so the Chinese can spy on me. I do peruse do peruse the TikTok.
It is dangerous, and I've been on it a lot sitting in the semi for harvest. It's kind of taking over my life. I need to probably cut it back a little bit.
I was telling my wife, when you're talking about debates, we watched that one. We also watched the presidential debate.
Yeah.
And I was telling her about halfway through, I said, wouldn't it just be nuts? Wouldn't it just blow people's minds if we came back after a commercial break and all of a sudden they had pads of paper that they took notes on and nobody interrupted each other and we gave rebuttals? You know, I don't care about the rebuttals. I don't care about defending a position. But wouldn't that have just been nuts if all of a sudden they just would have stopped interrupting each other?
Yeah, that was terrible. Trump was the worst. On interruption, but then Biden came back throwing punches at him.
I think
him
he
and
should have just
calling.
Started like this. This is if my take on it. He should have just opened up and say, you know, welcome my constituency. Here's what's going to happen. If I hear a lie, I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
And then he would have just like cleared his name of everything and just interrupt the whole day.
Well, I'm trying to find it. So obviously now I think the latest headline is that Trump has withdrawn from the next one. Yep. We're going to do it remotely.
Virtually. Yep. Yep.
And but even before then, they thought about having Joe Rogan, who's a fantastic podcast host, do the moderating. And I thought that's what we need. We almost needed. I was throwing out The Rock, just people that you don't mess with, to sit there and say, "No, shut up." The other guy's talking.
Maybe that's what we need in politics. You know, Trump was kind of like the anti-politic,
right?
You know, coming in, he was kind of in a way going against the Republican and the Democratic Party and the establishment. But then, yeah, we need some new age Joe Rogan moderating. Like, hey, shut the F up.
Right. Let's listen to what he has to say.
And then you get 2 minutes to come back and tell him to shut the F up.
I think we just need a mute button. Just your 2 minutes are up, ding.
I was excited.
I was excited
for the virtual, because if it was virtual, you could put him on mute.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live had a good start.
Teachers are doing it with their students. I mean, they just mute it all day long.
I saw someone say that Joe Rogan would have been good for the debate because you needed somebody that had UFC fight experience.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
But then he got COVID.
That's the last thing we'll say. Is that where he got it? The last thing we'll say about politics is that Trump got coronavirus. Right. Obviously, a lot of people in the White House have now gotten it, or at least quarantined. I don't think he got it from the debate, Dave. But another lineup of memes that just have kept coming. I saw the headline, you know, they released me. They'd never seen anybody kill it as fast as he had. And when they drew his blood to get his DNA, there was not DNA. There was USA, and it was USA that beat the coronavirus.
I saw one. Even COVID picked Trump over Biden. That was pretty good.
All right. Nobody wants to hear us talk about politics.
That's pretty fun, though.
It is fun.
I'm staring here looking at my phone, and I want to know if there's anybody out there that knows what a dongle is.
I know what a dongle is.
Well, I know you know what a dongle is because you told me what the dongle is.
Does anybody else know what a dongle is?
Oh, yeah. Daily part of my life.
Well, you guys are young like, people. Young people know. You guys
several times a day. You got to like drain it. Or,
yeah. I mean,
we're old enough to have the old headphones and old connections, but then hip enough to be new with technology, where we have a new phone that doesn't have, you know.
All right. So explain the millimeter plug.
So if somebody said, "Pass me the aux," you'd know what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
But
that makes sense.
Describe to listeners what's a dongle.
So a dongle is one type of connection. It's basically a little cord that goes between one type of connector to convert it to another. So like, let's say that you have an older set of headphones that still has a 3 millimeter jack, or like an aux cord, and you need to go to your fancy iPhone 11 that only has your lightning connector. Then you use your dongle to go from one to the other.
Okay. So, now who the hell named it a dongle?
Is it dongles around? I don't know. Remember like probably like 7 or 10 years ago when we had like a different adapter for each phone, like I mean micro USB, the
at least
long,
we're
regular like USB. It's like we're getting down there, but can we get run on the platform of universal plugins?
Skid loaders
for everything.
Did it.
That's true. Skid loaders.
I mean,
did it.
Finally, we had Case and Mustang and everything and Bobcat, and they all kind of went to a universal, even flat face connectors. And then, you know, of course, on farm equipment, we got we still have John Deere hookups and hydraulic wise, but
you got to be careful about what you wish for, because just like that, someday everybody's going to have a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody already does have a podcast.
Everyone does have a podcast. Let me get down and deep and bend your ear here. Let me get inside your eardrum a little bit.
This is way over dramatic.
Your ear follicles.
I'm going to
massage your eardrums.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm sick and tired of everyone having a podcast. Farm for Profit, even.
You realize we're on a podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are on a podcast. But no, okay, I do not, disclaimer, I do not want to take away people's creativity and that kind of stuff. But every company is coming out with their own podcast. I do not want to go listen to a podcast about fertilizer. How about instead of coming out with a podcast because you have all these extra marketing dollars for your company and people sitting around at home social distancing, take that money and sponsor local podcasts, private guys, Sharky, us,
Vance,
Jared McDaniel,
Tim.
Yeah. I would rather go and listen to a place that I'm already listening to and you guys have an ad on that and get your views and your info out that way.
It don't even got to be just a commercial. If you have a message,
get on the podcast
or a series of messages.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, don't get me wrong. I like the creativity, but every company having a podcast, I mean, come on.
You sent me a snap the other day. The Iowa Pork Producers sent one out. And
I can't rag on them, but I'm an Iowa Pork Producer. But yeah, everyone's got one.
I just started a new one this week for my industry. There's a new auctioneering podcast from our national association. So maybe it's a marketing thing out there now that every person is saying you need this to be
hip, cool. Be like a day. I don't know, 3 years, 10 years down the road, would be like, remember podcasts?
Yes, remember Laserfish?
What?
What? Remember Laserfish? Did you guys have Laserfish?
What the hell is that?
I'm like the oldest person in the room, so you guys have no idea. Like prior to CDs or DVDs or Blu-rays or any of that, we went from floppy disk to Laserdisc.
Oh.
And Laserdisc, the huge, they're like 45 records, except high tech.
Yeah.
They were way ahead of their time, had way more storage, and then just fell off the face because they were too early. Same with, I mean, even when, you know, Blu-rays came out and then all of a sudden Netflix and, well, you see a Blu-ray DVD very often?
Nope.
So what's the next podcast?
Well, I don't know. We're not going to talk about it because once we figure it out, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Like I said last time, screw you guys.
See, but all the other podcasts don't have beer and don't have music.
Exactly.
We have all of that.
But everybody's sick of listening to us.
So,
gentlemen, do you know what you're going to play next?
Yeah. We're going to do another original tune. We're going to do all original tunes today, probably. Cool. If that's cool.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This is one that I wrote for our heartbroken bass player back a few years ago. Shout out to Cale.
Is he still heartbroken?
He's always been heartbroken, man. He,
well, that poor guy.
He's a heartbreaker, too. He's
you get what you get.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. And I wrote this back in 2018 for him after he went through a tough breakup. So.
Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys.
It's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I don't care. 'Cause tonight this pain's just a little too much to bear. Told me time after time that your heart would always be mine. It's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I just don't care. They say that hindsight, baby, is always 20/20. And the signs that you were leaving me were always plain. Looking back now, I hang my head in shame. I should have seen you leaving me from a mile away. And it's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I just don't care. Well, it's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I don't care. Yes, this drink I'm drinking now is gonna get me there. If I make it home before the dawn, I'll just stay up and watch the rising sun. It's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I just don't care. Play. Tomorrow morning, but I just don't care. Cause tonight, this pain's just a little too much to bear. You told me time after time that your heart would always be mine. It's gonna hurt tomorrow morning, but I just don't care. And I'll get over you by drinking hard. Gonna put a lot of strain on my little old heart. And it's gonna hurt me. Yeah, it's gonna hurt me. But I guess you don't care.
Thank you. Fantastic, guys.
Appreciate it.
I just sat here and listened to the lyrics. Just listened to you guys.
Mm-hmm. I went pee. I came back and heard the end.
True.
It was great. Great ending.
That was fantastic. Yeah. And that I really like that. That could play a lot of different roles. Doesn't have to just be a heartbreak.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't care. You know it's going to hurt in the morning.
That's true.
Celebration, heartbreak.
Yeah.
Well done.
It ain't gonna hurt tonight.
I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Not after sober October.
You are tomorrow's problem.
Yes. So with this, you guys write a lot of your music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite song that you play? Is there, maybe it's different for the both of you. Why don't we start with you, Tyler?
Yeah.
What's your favorite song to play or maybe to sing?
Well, my favorite song, if it has to be one that we wrote.
No, it does not have to be.
It doesn't have to be one that we wrote.
Anything.
Obviously.
Or Devo.
We do a little Charlie Daniels at the end of every show. And I just, it gets people going. If you go on YouTube, there's a video of us when we opened for Brett Young at Iowa State, my alma mater, in front of 2,000 screaming Cyclones. And we closed out the show. Devo went down to Georgia. And it gives me chills every time I watch it still. So it's still my favorite one that we do.
Sweet.
As far as crowd reaction and the most fun we have on stage, I'm going to agree with Devil.
We love it.
We have a lot of fun on stage with Devil. We rock out to it. The crowd's always into it. As far as that goes, definitely my favorite to play. As far as like musically favorite to play, it kind of bounces around. You know, whatever fits your fancy, I guess. We have a lot of fun with doing The Fireman by George Strait.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that sometimes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we've just most recently started adding in a little Orange Blossom Special. It's usually an interesting time on stage when we pull that out, but we just have a lot of fun with it. So
you guys aren't playing any WAP.
Well, there's actually a Devil Went Down to Georgia, WAP. Went Down to Georgia on YouTube. You should look it up sometime.
Yeah.
Definitely not family appropriate because it is the lyrics of WAP. But if you look up Devil WAP Down to Georgia sometime, it is.
The internet is too quick.
Yeah, it crazy. Is an amazing remix. I mean, it's mind blowing.
That's good.
In the face.
Sounds good.
This is stupid. Why does this happen every time? Like, I got spots all over my glasses. I'm wearing this one. Just remember, Big Grove Brewery. Iowa City, Solon area.
Mm-hmm.
That's our brewery feature of the week. I am going to start pouring out the 1939 Amber Ale, and I'm going to wipe it off my glasses.
This one's got a really unique...
It's got a football on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be a nice can to pass around, too. But the Swifts, partners, Getch, Stanley, Smart, Jimmy Christmas, they got a ton of partners over there. Thank you for hooking us up with all this. This is definitely something we're going to enjoy. Let's see what this one looks like.
Pour it out.
I didn't realize it, but on the bottom of their koozies, it says, take it easy.
Ah. That's good to live by. Uh-huh. On the plan, what's your guys' favorite place to play? Is it a bar? Is it a show at the state fair? What is it?
I would kind of split this into two categories. You have the places that we play regular, and then, you know, our special events.
Yep.
As far as places that we play regularly,
Crandall Dobby,
my favorite, and
church.
Working on it. Yeah. No, I would say that Outlaws is my favorite as far as regular spots. Tyler might agree or disagree with me. I get in
trouble at Outlaws.
Yeah, it's such a good time on stage, though. It's a great time.
And pretty sure the last time I was there, I was laying on a speaker.
And then, you know, we do special stuff like festivals and county fairs and all that fun stuff. For myself, I would choose the Brett Young concert that Tyler was referring to earlier a couple of years ago. It was actually 2 years ago yesterday that we played that show. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's nothing like standing on stage, finishing up your sound check, and they just open the doors, and there's literally people running in to try to get in the front row of this place.
running
towards the stage. Yeah.
So who's like, hey, is Brett Young reach out to you guys? Or are you guys like, hey, could we open for you?
So how that worked, so I was involved at the Cal's Student Council at Iowa State.
Yep.
And they're the ones who sponsor that concert for Cal's Week every year. So I was like, hey, you know, mind if a little local opener happens here? And we literally played for 20 minutes. They got on, throw your stuff on stage, barely sound check, get off. But we took the opportunity, obviously, and we did it for free because we were just happy to be there. But yeah, that's how it kind of came about. I was in the meetings with people getting actually Brett Young to Iowa State, and I just said, hey, I got a band. We'd love to open up for free. If we get the opportunity, we'd really appreciate it. And they're like, yeah, that sounds cool. So
that's cool. What about the other ones? I'm just really interested in how the music industry works.
So it's kind of it's interesting how it works. Sometimes it's a 50-50 split, I would say, between you reaching out to people and people reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. Most of the big stuff, like we just played Guthrie's River Ruckus this last summer. The Brett Young ones, those ones, you got to reach out. You got to try and get your name out there, make contacts. Yeah. But a lot of stuff, you know, just falls in your lap too, word of mouth. I hope we get a few bookings out of doing this. You know, we seem to get new bookings out of every show that we do, either radio show or just a regular music show too. Like there's two or three people that'll come up and be like,
shed parties.
Yeah. Shed parties. I mean, we do private parties. We do anything but weddings pretty much. So
why no weddings?
So with weddings, people are so specialized with what they want. Uh-huh. People are like, hey, play Cotton Eye Joe. I'm like, no, we don't know that one.
Play Cupid Shuffle. I get that. Okay, so we hope you get leads out of this too. So how can a person find you?
You can email us to book a show, richtonentertainment@gmail.com, www.tylerrichton.com. It's all on there. Facebook, look us up.
It'll be in the show notes too.
It'll be in the show notes. We appreciate that. Yeah, we really appreciate you guys having us out to do this. It's awesome. Any chance we get to get a little more publicity, and also obviously just hang out and drink beer with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, we get to hang out and listen to your music. So but, I think it's a two-way street here.
www.tylerrichton.com. That's RICHTON. You find everything about us there.
At Tyler Richton, HBB. On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram, both of that that handle, Tyler Richton HBB, and then Facebook is just Tyler Richton High Bank Boys.
Mm-hmm. All right, I cracked a beer.
All right.
Let's give it a taste. Which one is it again, Dave?
So this is Big Grove Brewery again. This is the 1939 Amber Ale. On the front of the can here, it's pretty cool. I like the front of this can because it has a patent on it. Milton Reach patented in 1939, December 5th, patent number 2,182,053. On the back here, it says, 80 years ago, Iowa produced one of the greatest teams, and the favorite son was crowned the king of football, hence 1939. The players were so durable and tough that year, they earned the name Iron Men. This copper-hued malt-forward amber is named for the honor of those gridiron legends, the 1939.
It is copper-colored.
amber.
Extremely smooth.
Very smooth.
And the other one that said a delicious, this one says a memorable 5.6 alcohol volume, 12 fluid ounces, 355 milliliters.
Ed?
I'm a fan. I like darker beers. I have to say that it tastes pretty good for being 80 years old, kept in a...
What's your, what's your go-to beer? What's your go-to beer, both of you? When you're having a show?
It's a Big Grove 1939.
When we're at a show, Coors Banquet if they have it, Coors Banquet, for sure. Yep. They usually don't have it, so I'll go with Coors Light. My favorite all-time beer is some German beer that I tried over there that I would take over anything, but Coors Banquet is my favorite.
I'm going to get evicted from Iowa for saying this. I'm a Miller Lite guy.
Oh, I don't know. We're not going to kick you out for that.
People are like, that's a sin.
You just aren't going to find it for free very many places.
Miller Lite is not bad if you start on it.
Yeah.
I cannot go from Busch or Coors to Miller.
Yeah. If you want to go there, Tanner, it's my favorite beer is free beer.
Free and cold. Free
beer. Oh, hey, cold. That's a great
I prefer
answer,
it to be free.
So you like some Big Grove.
This is good. This is not what I was expecting. Another very smooth, very enjoyable beer.
Yeah. I'm having several of these. Not stopping.
Not stopping.
They're good.
So, Dave, you sent me a message. We were talking on the phone. That's the word. Yeah, we were talking on the phone. Did you ever get the answer to your question?
I never did. I was asking the other day. We were you answered it, I guess.
You're not right.
We don't think he's right.
We're going to get a listener to tell us the right answer.
So somebody that's listening to this podcast knows. We were driving on the road, and I was going to look at another farm. We were going to Sioux City, Iowa, my wife and I, and there's a combine, there's a combine, there's a combine. There's an old gleaner. There's a 9500. There's a X9. There's a, I mean, we had all kinds.
You saw an X9?
And I thought, mercy. How many combines are in Iowa? So then it made me think, well, if I knew how many farmers in Iowa there were, I might know how many combines. So I called Tanner up. I'm like, hey, we got to find out how many combines are in Iowa. It'd be a great statistic.
Iowa Ag Statistics from the 2019 NAS numbers. So the census, 143,447 Iowa farmers.
Whoa, I was way low.
143,447. 65.8% of Iowa farmers are male, 34.2% are female.
So what's a farmer now? Cattle? Hogs?
I'm just reading an image that I Googled.
Oh, mercy.
How many of those guys are custom getting a custom farmed? Well, or they are a custom farmed.
Or they just, like you were saying, there's probably, what was your number?
19,138 or something. Like, it was like, I just took like every county times like 200 and some.
Oh, that's not a bad
idea. How I got that number, but. Because I figured, well, there's probably a lot more in some counties, but then there's some that's probably not
that much. Yeah,
and I know a lot of farmers that hire their crops custom harvested. So, I mean, it'd be really curious. If anybody has the number for how many combines are in the state of Iowa.
Then we have some swag for you here at the studio.
By the way, you guys, you as listeners are awesome. Awesome all the way up to when I want to give something away. There wasn't a single person that responded to our giveaway from the last Farm for Fun show. Not a single person. So I will do better.
Weak.
I have stuff to give away. Big Grove. Koozies. Hats. There might.
Shirts.
I don't know if there's going to be leftover beer. I don't think there will
There might not be.
So far, it's all tasting really good, and we're not going to give it away. But maybe some leftover beer.
They did give us a Richardson 112.
Yes.
Hat. So, farmers, as you're out there, look at your hat. I'm curious how many people, new statistic, how many people have a Richardson 112 hat?
Can we get in contact with
you guys? You guys both have Richardson 112s. I'm telling you, Richardson 112 is like the hat of choice for Iowa farmers.
Okay, but I'm not going to beg. I will not beg, but I have free stuff to give away. We have free stuff to give away. So pay attention this week.
We'll mail it to you.
That's what it's like with us, too. We're trying to give away tickets to shows and stuff, and people win it. And they're like, oh, sorry, I can't make it. It's like,
what? Yeah. People will enter
contests.
Why'd
you call in?
Oh, yeah, great, guys. Sorry, I can't go. You can get somebody
else. What we have is, like, we're growing fantastically.
Yeah.
Tanner and I and Dave have fantastic interaction on social media on our personal
accounts. On a personal page.
And then you get to the farm for profit one, and they're like, screw you. we don't know who that
is. I put a poll out on my personal page, and I'll have 100 and some responses, and I'll have 7.
Yeah,
on the farm for profit page.
Yeah.
I get it. That's fine. I just want to give this stuff away. It doesn't
it's
need to
good
sit
stuff. This isn't
doesn't
like
need to sit in the studio.
Paper.
See, I've thought about that. I get more people that watch Farmland on my personal than watch it on my professional page. But I don't want to bombard all my people that are personal with all the business.
Right.
I think it's because they know who you are. The page just doesn't feel personal.
I don't know. I didn't want to overdo it. So, you know, I'd love to post every day, but I don't because I don't want to just like people like, I'm going to unfollow this guy. This is all business. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe less business and a little bit of mullet podcast.
Well, that's what the personal counts for.
Yeah.
That's a tough balance. That's a really tough balance to manage.
Cue me up some Baby Shark.
Well, I don't want to listen to Baby Shark.
And scene.
Why? All right. Why are we listening to Baby Shark? Why? I'm sorry.
The fact that he's that good, he can cue it up.
I'm sorry.
But the radio this morning had said, I think some inmates down in Oklahoma were tortured for hours on end while they were handcuffed to a wall with Baby Shark on repeat. And the prison guards are getting misdemeanors for it.
Oh, jeez. That's enough for me. I would confess. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't do it, I'd confess to it.
Yeah. So what's your guys' like torture song? Like if you were handcuffed to a wall for hours or days on end, what song do you not want to hear on repeat?
Actually, the other night, Allie and I, my wife and I were talking about this, is we don't know the next, you know, Baby Shark took over last year.
Yeah.
There hasn't been that, at least it hasn't hit our household yet, of the next.
Mine would be.
What's the one with the Ella the girl on Frozen? Frozen.
Do you want to be a snowman?
Build a snowman. Yeah, that was for a while.
Or Let It Go.
Let it go.
That's true. Frozen period. My household. I got plenty of that going. Mine would
be the song that never ends.
That's like back to like 1989.
Because yeah. I was thinking was the Barney theme song. I mean, back from my childhood, watched way too many of those shows.
Yeah, you guys.
Anything Florida Georgia Line.
I was going to say, I'm going a little bit different direction. Mine would be the song, Sam Hunt's song where he samples Webb Pierce.
Yeah.
And that just gives me an aneurysm. So
okay, so what about this? Switching the question just a little bit. When you get requests and you get one, you go, oh, not this one again.
Yeah. Yep.
Wagon Wheel, Freebird, or Freebird. Willie.
We have a policy that if you request Freebird at our show, you are going to come up front. You will get a Wet Willie.
Tanner, please request that.
I am going to. Where are we going here? Where's next? Shotgun Betty's? No, wait. Outlaws. I'm going to Outlaws on the 24th of October.
We have an excuse to go to Outlaws and not be the old Freebird.
That's right. Outlaws. October 24th, Prairie Meadows, October 30th.
Yep. I don't think there's an age you're too old. I think you can go.
I don't know.
Is there separate bars for separate groups? I think anybody should be able to go to any bar.
I feel like a creeper when I walk in there.
Outlaws?
Yeah.
Oh, we've seen some older folk than you at Outlaws.
Older folks.
Our number one fan, Marty Block, has perched up in the balcony throwing up an American flag for the national anthem before.
So they were charging cover one night to get in, and this guy who follows us around, he's from Hartwick, and he walks up to the door. He goes, "I'm a Nashville executive here to scout these boys out." He's like, "Can I just go in?"
From
Decca Records.
Decca Records. Now out of business.
Out of business for like 30 years. They let him in.
So this is the third time Hartwick's been brought up for you listeners, because I had to Google it. I'm staring at the Google Maps. You go east of Ames, Highway 30, past Tama, and then you drop south about 20 miles.
Free ad. I bought my cornhead from Hartwig Ag.
Oh, shout out to Kyle Ali.
Yeah, there you go. Free ad. Get him on the podcast. You owe us money. Yes.
Yeah. If you're listening, the check is made out to Farm Number 4 Profit.
Fun story about Hartwick is if the trucks don't get in from Heartland fast enough, you drive in the morning and they are full. I actually took a wagon in this morning and the guy came out on the scale, came walking out to the scale, and that's always when you go, oh boy, something's going on. He goes, hey, we're full. You're going to have to go to Victor. Okay.
Victor.
That's Hartwick for you, but no. I think it used to be that the biggest establishment was the bank, and now Hartwick Ag is fired off, so you drive by and see a whole ton of Draper heads. I would say that's the shining star of Hartwick.
Pretty good.
Banks. We gotta keep this thing rolling.
You tested a Draper head.
We've tested three Draper heads actually in the last week. Yeah, we've been looking at that. I don't know. We've never had one before there. pretty cool.
They can do the wop. They can flex. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, hey, no free ads. Like I said, no free ads.
This is the last show we're bringing the wop up in.
No free ads, but we tested drapers from two different companies, three different draper heads, and they are pretty cool.
Nice.
They're expensive.
What about touring? So you've got a couple of dates we just dropped, 24th and the 30th heading up. How's the coronavirus hit your gig life?
We've been pretty fortunate compared to other groups. We've stayed pretty busy since the beginning of June, thankfully. We've had obviously a lot of cancellations just like everybody else, and summer was just, you know, toppled over. We were gonna have a blowout summer, but it just didn't happen. But you know, we're pretty fortunate when one of our friends who's in a band says, you guys played more shows in a weekend than we've played since the beginning of coronavirus. So there's one weekend we did three shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that was more than they had gotten to do since the beginning of March. So
does it have to do with your audience?
Yeah. Our audience is kind of that nice number where if you're outside, they can spread out. It's not going to be, you know, we're not going to pack or fill a stadium or anything. And if you're inside, there's still room to spread out inside too. I don't know. It's kind of, yeah, it works.
I figured they were just more country folk that said screw Corona.
Oh, that too. Absolutely. But our crowd size is kind of plays into that well.
So we had Royce on last week. Mm-hmm. You know Royce?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Recorded his albums in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I think is that that's where. How many albums do you guys have?
With one, kind of technically two. I did a gospel album all on my own that
gotcha.
The band didn't really.
Where are you recording that in your basement or?
We did both those in Boone, Iowa, at Forte Studios.
Yep. There's a studio in Boone.
There is a studio in Boone, Iowa.
It's kind of bad. What? Not the best thing that's going for Boone.
Where's that next to the Casey's?
there's a studio in West Ames, Bumble Funk.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, West Ames, I get it, but Eric? Boone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, it can't be next to the train tracks.
Well, no, this is just like
Ames. It is right next to the train tracks. Actually, we have to stop recording when a train comes through.
Kind of like us when a motorcycle just decides to lay on from the stoplight all the way down to 210. Yep,
absolutely. Or Harris has just drove by in their semi. Jake breaking by.
No. Does he listen?
I doubt it. No. Maybe.
Really, next to the train track, you got to stop when a train comes by.
Yep. Yep.
Hold on. Here's the train.
Recording. It's the train track's butt right up to the drum room. So we were recording drums for the first album and train rolled through and we had to stop.
That's awesome. So are you streaming?
Yes. Yeah.
You get 6/10 of a penny for every stream?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Did you hear? I didn't tell you. I told Tanner. So Royce, our last guest, I came and to his website afterwards and bought his CD. So I bought a CD and I thought, I'll put this in my truck. I'd listen to this.
He signed it.
Go to throw it in my truck. I don't have a CD player.
Exactly. They're obsolete anymore.
And I'm
man.
Like, I know my other truck has a CD player. and so I have this brand new CD sitting up on the top and I can't play it. So
you're
I guess
have to give it to your wife.
Guess I need an account, an aux cord.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize.
I was so disappointed when I got my truck. Of course, I didn't drive the truck here today. I drove the minivan, but
that's awesome.
The van. When down I got by the Deep River.
Yeah. When I got my truck, I was like, it doesn't have a CD player. Are you kidding me? I had this whole stack of CDs that I love to listen to. That's the way of the world now.
The beautiful thing is when we take the bus out, it only has a CD player.
It only has a CD player.
We can't play on the aux, so we have have fun thumbing through that big CD case, figuring out
what the next tune is. Is that what you call the bus?
No.
His minivan. It's
a pretty sweet Dodge Caravan.
That's the Blue Bullet out there.
That's the Blue Bullet.
The Blue Bullet. We got the Horny Toad.
That's the bus.
Nice. Fits the whole band and all the equipment on it.
It doesn't fit the equipment. You pull the trailer behind the bus, but it's a 1994 Fleetwood American Dream. And
runs like a dream. Living the American dream. Yeah. One thing that happened to this podcast that's super cool is NorthAmericanAg.com. NorthAmericanAg.com selected us to be one of their best of ag podcasts.
Oh, wow.
So now if you fly out there, check out their website. They've got some really cool stuff out there. But extremely honored to be a part of that. We are joined by the Impact Farming Show, United We Ag, Ag State of Mind, one of Corey's favorites with Jason Meadows.
Yep.
And What Color Is Your Tractor? So I've listened to almost
all of those. And the one I haven't yet is this What Color Is Your Tractor one. So that's next on my to-do list to pick that up. But Chrissy and I have had a lot of interactions. I know she's going to listen to this. So thank you, Chrissy, for putting us out there. NorthAmericanAg.com. A lot of really cool stuff out there. Again, another free ad, but really cool recognition for the podcast to be the best of ag podcast.
That's awesome. Awesome, you guys. Congratulations. You guys are killing it, by the way.
It's fun to be a part of something, I mean, that we had no idea was going to do what it's doing. I mean,
and it hasn't been us. It's been the listeners. I mean, thank you so much for sharing this. So I think we celebrate.
Yeah, we got
Big Grove Brewery is what we got.
And it's I did a good job. I should pat myself on the back. I say we celebrate with another tune. You guys think you got another one queued up?
Yep, we got another one here.
What are we going to hear?
This is a song that I wrote for my father back in 2018 also. I'm going to give the full intro. Wrote it when I watched him come home from working all day at the office at the bank where he works.
And I like him already.
Yeah.
Damn banks.
Then he put on his work clothes and went right out to the field and continued working through the night. It's called God Bless the Working Man.
There you go.
Break of dawn, pulling that plow all day long, just turning it over and kicking it up. Took all he had to raise five kids. His wife left, but his faith never did. Always broke, never catching a break. When them angels swung them pearly gates, God looked down and said, come on in, son. We've been waiting. God bless the working man. Always giving it all, never giving it up. God bless the working man. God bless his calloused hands and the ground that he walks. Working the factory 25 years, he's worked through blood, sweat, and tears, just breaking his back for the big corporate man. Up early, starting to wonder if he's even worthy of the afterlife, standing at Jesus' feet. He hasn't been to church since he can't remember when, but he still throws up a prayer every now and then. God bless working man, always giving it all, never giving it up. God bless the working man. God bless his calloused hands in the ground there.
Farm for Profit anthem. That's right there.
Should be. Ed sings.
Feel free to use it for whatever you want.
Did you hear that? Ed sings.
Yeah, Ed sing.
He doesn't just play.
Ed doesn't sing. Ed harmonizes. See, that was like
that was well, singing.
Ed sings lead too. He does.
No, there
lead
you go. No, wow. I didn't mean it that way. I meant he sounded good.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Did you tell the other two that you were coming here and ask why they didn't get to come?
They weren't invited.
Oh,
they make too much noise. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was usually when we do acoustic stuff, we try and limit it to just this and fiddle for simplicity's sake.
Yeah, so. That makes sense.
Hey, yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yep.
Plus, the other guys are working harder than us, so
yeah,
they gotta hunker down.
The drummer's from Davenport, so he probably couldn't even made it if he.
Dang, that is a waste.
He's actually a salesman at Sinclair Tractor at the moment, so he's holding down the fort there.
So everyone's got jobs. It's not a full time gig.
No,
right?
No. Yeah. We would love for it to be, but that doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do we got here, Tanner? We got a
this is the
red.
Yeah, pink. It poured out into no, magenta's pink, isn't it? This is a
purplish red.
It's a purplish red.
The can is purple.
The can's purple.
Looks like wine.
Oh, that's a good. There you go. It's darker than water.
Double blackberry.
Blackberry, that would make sense.
Sour.
Double blackberry sour. Dave should like this.
I was going to say, it looks fruity.
I like blackberries. I've said another.
Tastes like huckleberries.
Shows that I'm not a huge fan of sours, but let's give it a try.
You're going to like it.
I think I'm a fan of sours. I think I'm a fan of sours. I say it every time. Nope, I'm a fan of sours. Send more sours. They're good.
Double blackberry good. Fruited sour ale gets its hefty dose, you guessed it, from blackberries. The soft tartness. Oh, that's a very good description. Soft tartness.
Oh, my.
It's not a really pucker-up sour. The beer sour base complements the sweet blackberries and boysenberries, featuring a beautiful violet hue. That's the color I was looking for. I should have just read the description. This beer bursts with your berry flavor.
I should have bug laying on me like in the debate. hey. Guys, you can do an Aronia berry sour. Hit me up.
Yes.
Next year when I have berries.
Big Grove, Hillabo Family Farms, Aronia berries.
And there's a lot of Aronia berries in Eastern Iowa.
There's a lot around here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this is a very good beer.
Are you putting the guts on them?
Guts.
Yeah, the fish guts. They use for fertilizer.
I did that. Yeah.
Those are makes them grow really good.
Foliar fed fish emulsion.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Did that. This year, I fertilized early, and then we got frosted twice, and then the wind blew the rest of the berries.
About 5 years.
Yeah.
About 5 years before you get a product.
Yep. Which I'm not mad about losing our crop this year because no one's paying for them anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, you got CFAP too. I mean, you're golden now.
So yes, Monday, a week ago, we had our FSA interview with Amanda DeJong. Fantastic information. Farmers.gov. Go out there and get the information for your CFAP 2 payment. I talked to my dad actually on the drive here, and Cherokee County mailed the information to him.
Mm.
It already had the pre-filled acres in there for corn and soybeans because you certified your acres, what you're going to plant this year. And then all he has to do is fill in the livestock portion. So way to go, Cherokee County, Iowa. Hopefully there's more out there. But if you haven't heard about CFAP 2 or you're late to the ball game, get out there. Get it done. It's another round of government assistance. Yeah. Whether we like it or not,
it's
available.
I'm so terrible. I'm such a terrible government farmer.
And a mic user.
So terrible. Dad does a lot of that. I mean, he's got all the records and all that stuff. But I'm just like, why in this day and age are we filling out all these different forms? And it just seems so repetitive with the technology that we have. Like, it should just all be there. But it's not. It's getting there.
Because it creates jobs.
It's run by the government. I don't know
what you're
expecting. I don't know what you're expecting. Affordable healthcare app that shows down.
I have a small amount of acres. My dad has a little bit more than me, but he'll spend a day and just filling out forms and making sure this is right and that. And it's like, I can't stand it. I'm like, we got work to do. I'm not mad at him. I know it takes time, but dang, I'm not a very good government FSA farmer. So if you want me to fill out forms, I'm terrible at it. And I'll be that guy at the last minute running in and
Well, you can sign up. You can sign up for text alerts, so that way you go in there before last minute and don't make them mad.
Okay.
They need to simplify their emails. People don't read that much. So every time I get an email, I open it because I'm like, hey, there's something new here. And then I look and it's so templated the way it was last time that I just pass over it, mm-hmm. thinking it looks like the last one. I'm guessing farmers probably do that too. All right.
We're boring talking about government farming stuff.
We talked a lot about government today.
Where are you guys going? What's the future look like for the band?
Well, we've had several meetings about what the future looks like, because you do kind of have to pick your path at some point. You know, you can't kind of sit on the fence and say that you're going to be a weekend warrior and mm-hmm. have a family at home and not completely commit to doing music or doing a full time job. You know, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever you want to call it, as a farmer, 6 to midnight,
whenever's
but,
needed.
We hope that the future is music, and we have, I don't know if my employer's listening, hopefully not, but
the future is... on the open stick.
I understand.
I've had that talk with them too. You know, if the opportunity presents itself, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity to go out and tour and make music and make money while making music. You know, all the advice you ever hear growing up is do something that you love and that you get paid to do. You got it made, and for us that's music. And I think I speak for Ed when I say that too. We have a great time doing it. I don't know how you couldn't. We love making music, and we love writing songs and being out on the road. But
you can be on TikTok, then you can be in the 615 house.
Yeah. It just takes a little bit of time. You know?
What is that path through Nashville? Is it through another path?
We think with the way the world is today, it's not through Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many tools to be able to get yourself out there like this. Appreciate it.
Time out.
That was a Mustang.
That was our Mustang. That was not a motorcycle.
Nice Bronco behind it.
Yeah, but we did get our blow by for the day.
Continue.
We don't think it's through Nashville. There's so many tools out there to be able to get yourself in front of thousands of people. Facebook now taking away music. I don't know what that's going to do, but we hope that we don't have to completely relocate to another location to be able to quote unquote make it. Mm-hmm.
Well, for now, Outlaws, October 24th, Prairie Meadows, October 30th.
Yep.
And remind them how they can get a hold of you if they want to book you.
You can email richtonentertainment@gmail.com. That's RICHTON for Richton. And if you just go straight to the website, www.tylerrichton.com, there is a booking tab or a shows tab on there. You can find it. If you know how to navigate a website, it's pretty easy to find. You can go there and submit details for a show. We'll shoot you back a quote, pricing, whatever, and we will get it all figured out and get it on the books. So
we can't just let you off the hook here. Every one of our guests, and Ed knows because he's listened, we want to know the people in your life. Doesn't have to be farmers. The people in your life, the most successful people, what do you think they all have in common? So be thinking about that. We'll kind of wrap some things up here on our side of things, and then we'll close out with that and possibly another song. But the other thing that is bothering me this fall is I feel like every time I go to take a leak next to the semi, next to the combine, the grain cart, somebody drives by on the road. Like I swear I am in the best position possible to protect myself from the wind, mm-hmm. from whatever's going on. And that's when somebody drives by.
You just gotta, you gotta get to the point of just let it go.
Why?
No one can see it, Tanner.
Wow, that was low.
That was. Are you peeing on the shoulder?
No, I'm not peeing on the shoulder.
All right.
Oh, I get what you. Jesus. Man, I'm glad that I'm the one that has the edit button. To get that one edited out of there. I didn't. That's just maybe that's just been this fall, but I don't remember it being this bad. All of a sudden, it seems like everybody pops out of the woodworks. I might be on the podunk.
Mine's more number two.
We've heard your stories. We have heard your stories. All right, boys.
Hey, everybody poops.
That's a book. Yeah, we talked about that too. Yeah. All right, guys. Enough time to think about it.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I'll just go first because mine's quick and easy. The most successful people in my life that I look up to, they all have the same thing in common, that they've all taken a chance at some point when they knew there was a big risk for failure, but they went for it anyways and the payoff was good.
Leap of faith.
Leap of faith.
Guts.
I do that all the time and I always fall.
Just got to go for it at some point.
What do you think, Ed?
I'm going to combine two traits that are kind of related. The first one is the agility to learn new things and then to leverage what you're good at. So successful people that I know in my life, you know, you don't have to be an expert in finance. I know a lot of people that do not like finance, but for you to be a successful farmer or on a successful ag operation or any part of a business or whatever you define as success, you know, if you take something that you don't know a lot about and you can learn enough, you know, to make yourself dangerous in that aspect, then, you know, you can drive yourself farther than where you're at the moment. And with that, it also comes leveraging what you're good at. So, you know, you might need to be multifaceted to learn about something different that you don't necessarily enjoy, but something that's going to benefit you. But on the other hand, if you've got something that you're good at and you know you enjoy it and you love it and you can do it well, the ability to combine those two things and leverage what you're good at to propel yourself further is what's going to, you know, take you to new heights and enable you to enhance what you could do otherwise.
Fantastic. That's good stuff.
Tell you, your talk made me think of nothing ventured, nothing gained, just the way Garth Brooks would say it. So just tie back into country music there.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what you said about other companies having their own podcast. Don't do that. Leave it up to the people who've already got one out there.
I mean, I ain't no skin off our back, but
that's true.
Support local. Get on other people's podcasts and support them.
Get your message out.
There's a lot of organic listeners there.
Yep. And you guys, leveraging what we're good at, that's our audience. That's only reason we've done what we've done so far. So thank you. Thank you an absolute ton. I don't know how else to say that. And I know these other two guys are nodding along right with me. Really appreciate what you do. But I think that about wraps up another awesome Farm for Fun show.
Yeah.
Send us out, Corey.
Yeah. Crack a Big Grove beer. Mix a drink. You deserve it.
Ain't it always the same old tune? What she said to break my heart kinda sounds like what she just said to you. Well, buddy, I've been there before. town bought and the crown. Yeah, everybody gets their fix. Yeah, everybody gets a swig. Well, buddy, I've been there before, and now you have to. We both had our turn, and now it's time to let go. But I can tell you some, she ain't through. You said you. I'm just speaking from experience, like a leaf in the wind. She's a blowing around, and she'll be back again someday.
Just opened up the garage door. We're going to have some car music. We're going to drink a couple beers and play some Charlie. Let's see what you got. Hey, we're still playing on the phone. Tanner, shut that off.
I wake up before.
This is a show bonus here, yeah. So let's hear it.
You want to do a little Blossom special to start?
Sure.
Oh,
right. Charlie does this too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Your mic on?
Yeah.
Shoot you in the face.
I'll start it off. You kind of follow me.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, he's way behind, he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man, saw him on the fiddle playing it hot.
The devil jumped up on the hickory stump, said, "Boy, let me tell you what. Bet you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take this, Daryl, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. Bet a fiddle of gold against your soul is think I'm better than you." Boy said, "My name's Eddie, Lord, it might be a sin. I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret it, I'm the best there's ever been. Eddie, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Us help Bruce and George and the devil tears at hearts. And if you win, you'll get the shiny fiddle made of gold. If you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case, and he said, "I'll start this show." Then fire blew from them fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled that bow across the strings, Lord, it made an evil hiss. Then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Finished, Eddie said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son. Sit down in that chair right there. Let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to die by no child, no." Bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Eddie's feet. And Eddie said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to die by no child, no."
Five guys, one concert. Five guys, one concert. Eddie, man, you were working the shit out of that thing. That's good.
Oh, you got a rip roll, but
no, yeah. Don't bleep that out. This is after everyone.
Nobody listens to it anyway.
Yeah, no one's listening to this.
Thank you. You bet.
Awesome. That's good stuff. All right, we're signing off.
General.